is in the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn, they got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
It's going by the book, all right. King James Bible, let's go and ride along with it. I tell you what, it is amazing me how they fight and they fight and they scratch and crawl in the world to find another book other than the King James Bible. It kills people to go after the King James Bible. Now, it's Young's translation. Literal translation is not good. They just pull one book after another. It's like they're afraid of the King James Bible in different places. I mean, I'm a Christian, they say, but really, you got to be able. Now, one thing they're pushing is you got to be able to speak Greek. Well, some of y'all that know me, I said, really, you got to be able to speak Greek. I said, I tell you what, how about you and I? I wrote this to some fella, I don't know who it was. How about us going together in business? Let's do this next week. I said, let's come up with a really good way of learning how to speak Greek to read the King James Bible. And let's market it and send it out worldwide. How about that? And then the conditions are, if you don't learn how to take our program, you're going to die and go to hell because you can't speak Greek and you can't read the true word of God from the Greek translation, which you can't find anyway from the originals. You can't find it, so anyway, but let's not tell them that. Let's just teach them how to do Greek and say if you don't read Greek and read the originals, which you can't find, you're going to go to hell. That would be a selling point, wouldn't it? He said, oh, you're a smart. Yeah. I said, well, no, actually, tell the truth. Because there is no originals. Not 7 billion people are not going to speak Greek. Oh, man, I tell you. That Bible, it's magic. I mean, it's supernatural. It's convicting. It convicts people so much they want to jump, run away from it. That should be a problem if you want to run away from something that they can't see the illiteracy of the other Bibles. They just the missing verses. The scriptures are all wrong. And yet they don't see it. I mean, just common sense tells you you don't want the other Bibles because they're missing verses. They're wrong. The definitions are wrong. The words are wrong. But missing verses. That's a sure giveaway. I got a preacher that's been a pastor for a church that I see on occasion fairly much, and he just carries the NIV around with him. I've given him the 17 missing verses, and I don't understand it. Why they can't see it? They're blinded. I don't know. Anyway. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast tonight. We're going to talk about serpent seed doctrine and millennium. We'll move on with it. And the serpent seed doctrine is picking up steam. It's coming along. We're really pushing it lately. Anti-King James is being pushed heavy. The mercy seat thing, the covenant of the ark, covenant of the ark, ark of the covenant. Yeah, there you go. That's Old Testament. They're pushing it hard today. This has a lot to do with the serpent seed doctrine, Hebrew roots movement, Israel. Sacred name movement. It's all connected. Same people doing it. Arnold Murray. Your Copelands. TBN. All these guys. Prosperity period. Prosperity gospel. And now you got, goodness gracious, you've got Victoria Osteen. Man, they're not holding anything back. Man, they're coming right on out with it. You're not doing it for God. You're doing it for yourself. I'm doing it for what? God wants to be happy that you're doing it for yourself. Family, this falls exactly in line, as I did some research today, exactly in line with the New Age thinking that man to become God. I mean, they're coming right on out and telling you. Make yourself happy. That makes God happy. Uh-huh. Do what? That God wants to be human. That's why he has a secret society, is to get him that way. Man, I've never seen so many people deceived. To be human is a step down in the supernatural world. I mean, the physical realm dies, rots or rusts or whatever. Ah, but they'll come back and tell you, oh, but no. We're doing it because man's going to evolve into the next evolution of the supernatural. Oh, I see. Humans will be exalted during this thing called Jupiter. We're now into Mercury. Oh, well, I've got a Mercury outside there, 2009. No, it's a... No, no, it's a 1999. I put a 1 where I put a 2 where I supposed to put a 1. That's not the Mercury they're talking about. Oh, okay. However, when we enter the Uranus, I ain't going over that one, through Jupiter, family, these people are so deceived, it's not even funny. What, you expect me to set up all night and look for the stars and the almanac to find out when Jupiter's going to come around? Jupiter Project? Evolve into the next level of human evolution. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. They want to prove to people that we are demigods trying to make God human for God, because God can't do it. That's part of the Rosicrucian Ron Paul beliefs. Yep, that's what they believe, man to become Superman. That's why they're into eugenics, stem cell research, transhumanism, man to become God. Mormons believe you'll inherit a planet. The Hindu believe that you'll keep coming back and back and back until you finally get it good. Then you, something another, whatever. Oh, my gosh. Big surprise coming for a whole lot of people. So then the kingdom of heaven will be here on earth. Man's responsible for it, not God. So then you got the biblical response to Victoria Osteen. It fits right on in there. Number 322 is what they're talking about. It's all connected. Dedicate the broadcast and let's go. Let's see what we got tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this Bible study. Father, we pray. We pray, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We dedicate this broadcast, Lord. You got us tonight in this Bible study about the hope, about the coming kingdom. The thousand-year millennium, Lord, that we look to. But, Father, we know that a lot's got to happen before then. We know, Father, that the tribulations are yet to come. Much deception will surface. Father, we pray you lead us in a study. You lead us, Father, in our divine appointments as we spread the word of the gospel. Father, we pray, Lord, tonight for our brethren. We pray for daughters and sons. Father, be protected by your Holy Spirit. We pray for healings, those for Virginia and for others not to mention. But, Father, we pray for their bringing families together, protecting their children. Father, you know which ones. Lord, we do pray for Virginia for her healing as part of this ministry, Lord. And for other families to be protected. We pray, Father, that you'll raise up out of the America, now the world, Father, the watchman to come forth. That when that time has come, Father, you'll give them that spirit and that knowledge, courage, strength, protection before these times come out. Father, we pray for this week. Father, protect the loved ones. Protect, Father, those families that are losing their loved ones for the sacrifices, it's the kidnappings and all these things that witchcraft is performing in this Mabon festival to tear it down, Lord. We pray for those that's in fear and those being used, that, Lord, you'll comfort them in this time that they're going through. These things we pray, Lord. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, that mercy seat, Ark of the Covenant, that's Old Testament. You say, well, it has a lot to do with today. Well, no, the cross does. The shed blood of the cross. This is that Ron Wyatt stuff, where the blood of Jesus seeped down through the cracks, went down 20, 30 feet, fell on the mercy seat, Ark of the Covenant underneath the cross of Calvary and skull, whatever, I don't know what. Oh, goodness gracious. It's about the shed blood of Jesus, not on an ark, but about the punishment he took for us. We accept him as our Savior, and there you go. The Ark of the Covenant, that's all God's business. God's got a hand on that. Whatever he does with it, he does with it. But our job is to the Great Commission, to witness to others. If he has the Ark of the Covenant show up, well, here's what I believe. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, somebody, but my belief is the way they're talking about the Ark of the Covenant, it's going to show up. And if it does, it's going to point toward the blood of Sananda Manuel, the copper-based blood, and the lie about the shroud, and that Prince William or Prince whoever it is, or the Antichrist, whoever it's going to be, has the same bloodline as Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, it ain't Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We know that. So I think a little fakery is coming with this Ark of the Covenant and this mercy seat and Sananda Manuel and the false prophet and what have you. Oh, this is sneaky coming up. Sneaky coming up. And discredit the King James Bible. That's what they got to do. That's the next step. And it'll be Christians that do it. Christians will do it. You see, Calvinist, Preterist, Jesuits, Secret Society members pretending to be Christian, and those pretending to be Jews. It's called the Synagogue of Satan. Mm-hmm. Well, when they come up with the wheat, the serpent seed doctrine, then they're talking about they are the tares. You see, it all connected. It's all connect. The serpent seed doctrine is a belief that's based on very poor biblical interpretation and superstition. It's a some kind of doctrinal dissertation for those who want to use scriptures to justify racial prejudice. Let's get down to it. We're back again to racial prejudice causing division. But the division causing is going to be used to set up bringing everybody together as we are the world under the New Age movement in the United Nations. Its primary doctrine related to the other beliefs of Christian identity movement and the Kenite doctrine that's spouted off pretty much in the past by Arnold Murray and that cultic group there. And like many of these false beliefs, it's got a built-in defense mechanism of sort. That's anybody who disagrees with it is accused of being a son of the serpent. It's very heavily relies on prejudice and warped biblical interpretation, certainly through Christian identity. And you can't really discuss it rationally. So the serpent seed doctrine teaches that the sin of Eve was not just disobedience, but she had sexual contact with the serpent, and that Cain was the son of Eve and the devil. So Cain's descendants are, according to this idea, the sons of Satan. You are of your father, the devil. Yeah, you get how the idea works? That includes most any race or group that the serpent seed believers actually choose to dislike. So this idea is rooted in superstitious belief and is very, very popular with your white supremacist, anti-Semites, and Unification Church supports this kind of idea. So a lot of your false prophets and false teachers, like Arnold Murray was, of Shepherd's Chapel, and William Branham, which they're connected, of course, and Phelps of Westboro Baptist Church. I can't help it sometimes. They come up with the same idea. It doesn't stop there. There's an idea that, take one for an example, that shouldn't not be criticized when it's wrongly applied, but it's very appropriate to condemn an idea when it logically leads to sin. So, a philosophy, if I use that word philosophy, to say it again, teaches that some races or people are universally satanic. Like the serpent seed doctrine is this type of doctrine. Just because you're some race, you're of Satan. That's completely, it's not even logical. But there's, they're cursed with this thing. I've talked to people with Christian identity. Man, they are brainwashed beyond the imagination. Read up with it. Those who support this doctrine cite a lot of passages in the Bible, and they're very biblical literate. Very literate, actually. They know the Bible very well. But they twist the verses. And then when you untwist them, they get all mad at you. They cite passages in the Bible as proof that their idea is correct. And without any exception, these proofs require an interpretation that's totally inappropriate to the context of the passage. Yet these people are so brainwashed, they believe it. For example, Genesis 13 is cited often with the claim that the word translated beguiled in the King James is really meant seduced. Do tell. And the context and scholarship would disagree. Proverbs 30 verse 20 metaphorically compares eating and sexual morality. Well, as greatly overstated by the serpent and the seed believer as proof that the fall was sexual. And they reach for the straws, man. Also Jude 1:14, the parable of the tares is what I've mentioned before in Matthew chapter 13. those who believe in the serpent, in this type of doctrine, they teach that Jesus' description of the children of the devil in the parable is true of a biological sense, as I've said times before. So again, only one who's trying to force this belief into the Bible will see it this way. It's not naturally read out in Scripture. There's dozens of places. Genesis 4:1, where Eve says, "I've gotten the man from the Lord." Well, when you back in those days, when you copulated, you knew somebody. You know, today when you get on a dating site and you say, "I want to get to know you," well, they know what you're talking about. But if you were to say that back then, her daddy's going to shoot you. He wouldn't have a gun, would he? He's going to stab you. They put a whole new term to the word getting to know you. See, the words change. We need to update the Bible. No, you don't. You need to go back to when it got to go backwards. Not use the words today. You don't change the Bible. Proving yourself to study, self-approved, means you learned the context as it was said back then, not up to date. So getting to know you today, when someone's meek today, is a whole lot different than whatever meek last back then, or getting to know you back then. Whole different meaning entirely. I think Satan, and I think those in the Freemasons, and those in the Jesuits, and the Illuminati, over a long period of time, changed the meaning of the words on purpose. And then to say, like Westcott and Hort did, we need to update the Bibles to current date. You see how tricky that is? Boy, that's sneaky. Sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. So, Genesis 4:1 is a big one. You know, it's Eve with getting their first baby there and sees Cain's got a little Mr. Happy there. He's definitely a man. She says, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." Look, I've gotten a baby from the Lord. It didn't say baby. It said, "I've gotten a man." That's a man, okay? You know, there's a difference between male and female. Uh-huh. That's all that is. Now, it would be kind of curious if she was to say, "I've known a man from the Lord." That'd be a little bit of a discussion there. The Lord knew me. Well, now you got a little bit of an issue. But that's not what it is at all. But they take off and run with it. And people believe it. Dozens of places in the Bible where this false idea has been placed in there, yet every single one requires a person to believe in the serpent seed doctrine before they ever attempt it to go any further. So only by reading the passage and saying, if you assume that the serpent seed doctrine is true, then it means blah, 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 can a person support this false philosophy? So for this reason, when you argue against the serpent seed doctrine, it can be difficult. They won't hear you. They're brainwashed. And those who believe in it interpret the scripture through a sort of serpent seed lens. That's how they see it, through the glasses that they're wearing. Got to get them to take those glasses off. Not likely to accept any other interpretation, because their teachers and pastors and preachers on the serpent seed doctrine under the Christian identity, they're good. They're dangerous. They're dangerous folks. They're like white supremacists. Doesn't matter how well you know your scripture. Don't matter how much proof you give them. They don't want to hear it. In Galatians 3:28, it clearly states there that the race and gender have no impact on the standing with God. In Galatians 3:28, it's clear. That there's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Phew, there you go. You know. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us toward, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. He just happens to know which ones will and which one won't. He wants everyone to be saved, not everyone but the children of Cain. And none of them of Cain made it through the flood any old way. So they got to answer that one. They say, well, somebody jumped on the ship, or they hid in the caves, or they got some kind of answer of that. Nowhere in Scripture is anyone identified as a Kenite, or even condemned based on being from Cain's lineage. And neither are we warned about such people by the New Testament writers. Also, to fight this thing, there's a question of how or why such persons survived the flood. That's my biggest one. That's what I hit him with. The doctrine supposes that original sin was sexual, but cannot explain why the whole remainder of the Bible lays out a worldview where the original sin was disobedience, not sexuality. Disobedience covers the whole scope. Leaves out all the others, don't it? The philosophy is unfortunate. It leads directly and logically to two main problems. Racism is by far the worst. Believing that certain races are irredeemable has no positive application whatsoever. And the only possible outcome of such a worldview is prejudice and bigotry. There's also a tendency to dismiss critics of the serpent seed doctrine as being the very Kenites that the philosophy believes in. Oh, you're nothing but a Kenite. Na-na-na-boo-boo. Arnold Murray is particularly guilty of this abuse. Fortunately, though, for believers, God's given us resources of Scripture that can show us the truth. Find true wisdom by being unbiased, not connected to all this mess. The millennial kingdom is free from influence of Satan because why? He's in chains, utter darkness. Why don't God just go ahead and just end it all and throw him, the three frogs, the three serpents, the three evil, throw Antichrist, false prophet, and Satan in the fire and be done with it? Well, all through the Old Testament, certainly pre-flood, not much is said about it, except God created the heavens and the earth. It talks about the sons of man, the very few during the lineage from Seth to Noah are mentioned. I mean, they estimated, give or take, 20 million people in 1,500-year period, 1,550 years, a millennia and a half, from creation to Noah, 1,550 years. And during that period of time, before that, Adam sinned, Eve sinned, turned the world over to Satan. Adam and Eve began to die. They lived a long time, but they had to multiply and replenish the earth. Multiply means make more of them, which made more, made more, made more. And then some of them died and were replaced. That's called replenish. They also try to say, well, Adam and Eve multiplied, replenished the earth, means they had a pre-Adamic race before Adam and Eve. Well, they try all kinds of things. Anyway. But the minute that Adam and Eve sinned, it turned it over to Satan. So it's nothing but pure evil, man. Nothing but pure evil. That's why there's only a handful of righteous men leading up to Noah. And it got so bad that God destroyed it with water. Everything was corrupted. Animals, plants, earth, everything. You know the story there. Eight people out of, they estimate, 20 million. Eight people. Noah, wife, three sons, three wives. So, have you ever noticed they never had kids till after the flood? Don't you find that interesting? Anyway. So I'm not going to go over that story. You know, they landed and got off, and there you go, the Table of Nations and so forth. And that's when, afterwards, the races begin to develop 10 generations after. That's another story. I'm not going to go there right now. But there's a reason why. They're all one race and one culture, one language. No, Noah didn't have a black son, a Chinese son, a white son, or whatever. Middle Eastern, they're all three. So the Table of Nations, it developed later as the bodies, as the generations got accustomed to the ley lines, the power structures. Or God changed the languages at Tower of Babel. And then instantly changed the culture to match the language. God could do that. And one thing about that, what did he do with Enoch before the flood? He took him up. Boom, just like that, alive. He translated Enoch, means he changed his body structure. Flesh cannot go up into this third heaven. Flesh would not survive. So he changes the body. He translated, changed the frequencies, changed the body structure. You got it? What about Lot's wife? Lot's wife, when they said, now, man, can't find nobody's righteousness in the city. Man, get your butts out of there and don't look back. Well, Lot's wife couldn't help it. She looked back. Instantly, God changed her DNA and turned her into salt. At that moment of time, for disobedience. So he can do that. So it is possible that when he changed the language, I have a hard time saying that word. I keep biting my tongue. He changed the languages. He could have changed the body structure. Now that'd been a shocker. Or he changed the languages, which he did. And then when everybody scattered, went to their different places, then, and there's a gap of history. And, I can only say legends. There's nothing in stone, no pun intended, but of where there's a massive movement of the Plutonic plates, whatever you call them, Teutonic plates or something like that, and a major loss of life that's not really recorded. It's a gap of history. The only thing you have to go on is legends of it because of the witchcraft and so forth that separated mankind, and then over a period of time, which is proven to be true, that language, they just had a study recently that proves that language changes DNA. ELF, electromagnetic lower frequencies, changes DNA, language, ELF transmission. Different parts of the earth, gosh, I guess I'm explaining it after all. Different parts of the earth have different ley lines, different power structures. So over a period of 10 generations, 20, whatever, you start having the plants, the animals, to start settling in to that particular power structure of that particular part of the earth. That's why you don't have polar bears in Africa. It's not because of the sun beating down on them. It's because of the ELF transmission of that power area. So it settles into the type of plant, animal, and human that's going to live there based on the power structure of that particular place of where the plates landed. Has an effect on the DNA, plus the languages. Now, they've proven that already. You can find a Russian study recently about how language, words, change DNA. We're nothing more than Legos on steroids anyway. Like an illusion, sort of. Anyway. So, where's I going with that? That was complicated. Talking about Millennial Kingdom here. Races and so forth. I got lost in it there for a second. Sorry. It's complicated, man. It makes my head spin. So, where's I going with that? I forgot. Sorry. I got to stay focused on this stuff, kind of stuff. It's physics, it's chemistry, it's biology, and it's real. And it works. How the structures and table of nations set up. In any case, at that point, Satan started corrupting mankind. From that moment on. But heading toward the prophecies of a coming Messiah. Okay. Well, he came. He lived. He died. He rose again. Now, he's the mercy seat. He is the difference. Not the mercy seat of the Old Testament, but the new one. The one fulfilled the scriptures. His blood, not on the mercy seat, his blood on the cross saves us. Not the mercy seat. Not now, because he fulfills. Didn't abolish, he fulfilled it. So through Jesus, you're saved. So he took back, not physically, but he gave you a way that mankind could be saved, whereas didn't have it before. Before that was anticipation by the human, by the animal sacrifices. But they were obedient because of the animal sacrifices. You see how it worked? By one man, the earth was condemned forever. By one man, Jesus, Son of Man, Son of God also, the world is redeemed. But there's a condition. That you acknowledge the sin, take him as your Savior, and have faith, and wait until the end, or your death, whichever generation you live in. And it seems like we're there on that one. So in comes the Millennial Kingdom. So all through this time that you're born, you're under the influence of Satan. What are you talking about? Well, I'll tell you. Education. I've already proven that. He controls all the education through the councils, committees, Illuminati, Jesuits, etc. Politics. Education, politics, finance, harmony, beauty in the arts, philosophy, science, politics, all of it. Everything. He's behind all of it. You see? So why didn't God do away with Satan at the beginning of the millennium? I'm getting to that. That's a good point. I just now got back on track. It's because we're living in a time that's influenced by Satan right now, today. You see it on the news. You see it on the music. You see it everywhere you turn and look. You see stars here, Baphomet there, in everything you see. Everywhere. It's not that it was always been here and then he used it. He set it up on this earth. And you're going through it. You're experiencing that influence of Satan upon your life on the day you're born. Till the day you die. You're being demonized. If you are not born again and you present yourself in witchcraft, you could be possessed. That's different. That's why the 33rd degree Freemasons, 33rd degree, one-third of them, renounce Jesus Christ, and that way they can become possessed. Otherwise, they can't. But they can be heavily demonized, brainwashed, secret societies, blood oaths. But they renounce Jesus Christ. They have to renounce him. That means to pour the glass of water out. No spirit and put the dirty water in. Satan. All right. Back on. So, that's, oh, they don't want you to know that. Oh! Yep. So what happens is, at that point in time, the Jews head for the hills. And they're protected. The ones that have finally awakened by 144,000 preaching. And the Jews head for the hills in abomination of desolation right before the trumpets sound. And protected throughout the seven trumpets. Then Jesus Christ returns. When he returns, he brings his saints with him. We begin again. And man starts to multiply in their mortal bodies, but living a long time. The saints will be immortal, will lead the nations once more for 1,000 years. Now, here's why God does not eliminate Satan immediately. Because during that 1,000 years, those living during that 1,000 years to replenish the earth from this turmoil that happened during the 7-year tribulation, they will never have been subjected to Satan's influences like we were. He will not be around to put up little signs and stuff. As a matter of fact, we won't even have technology. We'll be back to the simple ways of life. Everybody will have one language, one leader, all under the same. Now, people will sin their own because they'll have free will, naturally. But they'll not be influenced by the 7 areas I've mentioned before. You not have influence. So the day we're born, we are born into the influence. But the ones that are born in the millennium will not have that influence anymore for 1,000 years. It'll all be wiped out. You see how it works? I haven't heard this said like this before. I mean, some of this is just now coming to me that I'll have to go back on this myself. I learn something new every time I talk about this myself. I'm sure y'all do too, but. So, when you're born today, before this tribulation starts, we're born into the influence of Satan. Everything. And more that I do these broadcasts, the more and more I study, the further away I get from TV, which I don't have one anyway, the further I get away from these reports on the radio and on TV and the news and all that, I see it's so minuscule. You know, they're all talking about stuff and everybody's so, I said, so what? You know, you start getting further and further away from the material world. You realize, yeah, okay, whatever. You got to buy gold, Tom. Yeah. Yeah. Get some colloidal silver. It'll protect you. Uh-huh. Okay. I'll make sure I get me a little generator there and have colloidal silver where I can always reach it. Go buy you a gas mask. You know, all this stuff going on and on and on. And you already know the tribulation is coming. You already know what's going to happen. And the more you study, the further you get away from this materialistic world. It's just the way it is. So, when those in that 1,000 years, they've not been given the opportunity to make their choice. Because everything is all about God. Everything's about Jesus. Everything's about His gospel. Everybody's about working together. No influence of Satan. It's just the individual's sin that would be judged. So, God will release Satan after the 1,000 years to give them the opportunity in that 1,000 years to go through what you went through So it will separate the wheat and the tares again, because they've never had that opportunity like you have in this period of time of your life. You understand? I see you asking, you understand, and I can't really say because I don't see people. I mean, it's a habit. But anyway, I used to say that when I used to teach adults. I'd say, do y'all understand? I'd look for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 10 of them or whatever that would say, huh? You know how to re-explain it, but that's just a habit. You understand? So anyway, so you're tempted, demonized, thrown into the fire, you might say, to the time of your life. All of us have, say the least. Then during the 1,000 years, it's coming up, the millennium, Satan will be put away. He'll not be able to influence people supernaturally. To put up signs with Baphomet, to bring in strip joints and all this stuff going on during the millennial reign. It'll be a whole generation of nothing but God. Nothing else but. So he releases Satan, so they'll be able to make their choices, and that will be the final end. And they'll have another war. Apparently, some will follow Satan, even after all this. And that'll be the battle of Gog and Magog. That's mentioned in the Bible, Revelation 20. I think 7 or 8 or something like that. They'll have made their choice. Then, they will lose. Sticks and stones break the bones, but God will never be beaten. And so, did I just say that? Anyway, will be the great white throne judgment. And that one will be the last one. And it's all for those that rejected Jesus Christ. Before the millennial reign, after the millennial reign, and everybody in between. Will be judged according to their works of which level of hell they'll end up in. That's it. Because the ones that accepted Jesus as Savior will have been judged before the saints at the judgment seat of Christ. Then those during the millennial reign that followed Jesus Christ, it's pretty obvious, they followed Jesus Christ. Then we'll be given eternal bodies all, a new heaven, new earth, the old one, destroyed by fire. Because remember, there's a war. This happened, Gog and Magog, so he'll destroy it all and rebuild it. So that means you'd have to have, oh yeah. That means you'd have to have a supernatural body. You couldn't be natural if he destroyed the heavens and the earth. For everybody, you'd have to have a supernatural body to survive it. Be brought to heaven. A new heaven, a new earth. Eternity. Everybody would have a glorified body from that point on. I'll be. I didn't really think about that before. Then for an eternity, it'd be like the millennium. Except here, those that stayed with Jesus to the end will then be with him throughout the eternity. Of the way it was in the millennium reign. Now, that led us up. So pretty much that, I guess that's, we're heading toward the hour. That gave me some things to think about myself. I hope I help some people out. And if you don't agree with me, let me know so I can ban you. I'm joking. But in any case, I don't have all the answers at all. And as I go along, I can say the Lord's Prayer that I do every day on the broadcast. And sometimes something will jump out at me then that I should say about it. That adds to it, I mean not add to it, but to commentate about it. make commentary. I just made up a word, didn't I? Commentate? Anyway, it's Thursday. But in any case, that millennial reign, man, we're something's coming, man. It is coming. Things are changing. They're showing their hand. I can't believe Victoria Osteen just came right out and said that. I mean, you're not doing it for God. You're doing it for yourself. Do good. Be good for yourself. Not God. But, I mean, she just come right out and said it. I mean, you know, you can't get more clear than that as far as that's mind-boggling. I found this, I mean, am I the only one who really, does that just really blows me away. I mean, you'd think they'd be a little subtle. I found this one. YouTube about it. I found it quite interesting the way this person put this together. If I can find it here. Let's see if this is it. There's a new one I found where it talks about her. Yeah, this is it. Yeah, this is quite interesting the way this person put this together. Listen to this.
I mean, that's one way to look at it. We're doing it for ourselves. Because God takes pleasure when we're happy. That's the thing that gives him the greatest joy this morning. So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself. Because that's what makes God happy. Amen.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
I don't know where that person found that second part, but I thought, you know, you got to know. This is blatant of her saying that. Blatant. Right, come right on out of the closet. That, I just, wow. That's about as new age as you can get. That's Rosicrucian. About doing things for yourself. You know, and, it just blows me away. I know, just comment. One cannot commentate. I know that. I made up the word. Maybe I'll submit it to John Daniel Webster. Anyway, so, yeah, well. So family is close. And tomorrow we'll talk more about the millennium. And we'll talk about some end times events and some other points that may come up. But I find things getting really interesting. And the acting out of people just really is becoming quite apparent. God's moving in people's lives, man. You can see it, feel it. Things are changing more now than ever. So, before I make up any new words, I think I better go here. Thank you all for coming by. We had a nice class tonight, nice group tonight, and I appreciate y'all dropping by. And so tomorrow 4:00 we'll continue on with what we've been talking about the infiltration of the churches by the communists since 1887, and see where it leads us tomorrow. And that's how they're controlling people. Amazing too how it works. How Satan operates. Reminds you that John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, at highportradio.net, highportradio.net, up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And also visit my website, watchmanforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. make comments there, visit, let me know how you're doing, what's going on. And also for John Kirkler and his network, for those up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, look him up and look at the sponsors they have there. And then use those sponsors if you have to do business or whatever, and let them know that about John Kirkler. And, you know, because for us, he just plays our broadcast and our Bible studies, which I appreciate. But, you know, his the sponsorship, he operates about three antennas, I think, or three stations or something like that. And he needs some, you know, would require some help there. For he does it, you know, he needs that help. And so going through his sponsors would be good. We'll close in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Thank you, Father, for leading us tonight. Lord, give me the words. And Lord, convict me if I fall away. Lord, that Father, I still, that you'll guide me that I can help others. Father, all those that's listening and praying, Lord, they have also their prayers for healings, for families to come together. Lord, for to lead them. They all have their prayers, their own lives. Father, protect everybody through the blood of Jesus. And guide us, Lord, in your holy word to give us the words to speak to others to guide them the right path to Jesus Christ. Father, guide us in future prayers and future Bible studies. And Lord, to give us that wisdom and discernment to see through the deception that's coming, that's going on today. We thank you, Father, for these opportunities. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, family, thank you all for dropping by. And we'll close down now. And I'll do the traditional closeout. And any comments about today, about the millennial reign, anything that you want to add to it, just send me an email. I'd appreciate it, if so. So we'll see you all tomorrow at 4 o'clock for the broadcast. Have a good night. And God bless y'all. This is your Watchman, signing off.
The love was shining up from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.